What process do you think should be applied in order to automate verification of government-issued identification cards in order to prevent fraud and money laundering?
So currently, IDs are verified in person in an ad hoc fashion. The holographic and other features are only glanced at, and the personal information on the card is really not authenticated. And with online transactions, it's even worse, because a scan or a fax of the ID is kept without further inspection. So what we propose is an automated protocol where scanning the personal information on the front using OCR methods, optical character recognition, we take the photo of the back of the card where we read the barcode. So on all government-issued driver's licenses and health cards, the barcode encodes all personal information about the person. So we then compare the front and the back to make sure that the ID was not fake. We also compare the ID, the photo ID, to a live face of the person making that transaction. And finally, we can potentially access central government databases to verify the information on the ID. It's a way to authenticate that the ID, in fact, does have a record in the central database. So as all these methods outlined can result in a more thorough check than done by a human.
And in terms of securing online documents using face and ID cards, can you please explain more to our listeners as to how that process works? And in addition, how would you say that this is different than digitally signing documents today?
Currently, the PKI methods sign documents digitally by having an encryption key that rests on the person's device and uses that to authenticate that the person signed the document. However, what we propose is strengthening that. So documents are digitally signed using standard encryption methods, but images of the live face and the photo ID are embedded inside the document, either as metadata or actually being part of the document. They're visibly present in the document. So a live face can optionally be used to authenticate the person to that account. In case a transaction needs to be reversed, these photos of ID as well as face that are embedded in the document can be used as a forensic trail to detect who was actually the person signing the document. So this can be used in online customer onboarding. It can also be used in online signing of bank documents, such as mortgage documents. And it provides an alternative to current PKI infrastructure, which is actually quite expensive for a company to set up, as well as it has no way to authenticate the person who signs the document.
Certainly. And Mr. Wysocki, in terms of the work that you do in the field that you're currently working on, you clearly demonstrate the expertise and the knowledge. And I want to thank you immensely for sharing this information with all of our listeners today. I also want to mention that in addition to all of the work that you've done in your field, you have also demonstrated a strong commitment to the Canada-Poland Chamber of Commerce of Toronto by being involved in the engineering committee. And for everyone who's interested in learning more about the projects that you're currently working on, can you tell us the projects that you're focused on as a member of the Engineering Committee of the Canada-Poland Chamber of Commerce of Toronto?
Canada-Poland Chamber is a non-government organization that's been set up to foster economic business relationships between Canada and Poland. It helps Canadian companies scout out Polish companies and vice versa, and it builds relationships and networks with other ethnic business organizations in Canada. So that's our mission statement. Currently, we have some projects coming up that the Canada-Poland Chamber is hosting. We have a gala coming up on May the 6th, which is a way to recognize and celebrate individuals who are outstanding in their field and selected by their peers, and helps to strengthen the image of Polish business community in Canada. So this is a great formal networking event, which allows individuals and companies alike to come together and talk. In September and October of this year, we're putting on a conference, so details of which are yet to be arranged, but it pertains to, we currently received a grant, a sizable grant from the government of Poland, and it's designed to strengthen Polish communities abroad. This is the term for that is known as Polonia, which are Polish communities living outside of Poland. So this award is designed to strengthen those organizations. As a result, we're putting on a conference, and the engineering committee has been working and is involved in scouting and encouraging technology companies from Poland, as well as Canada, to partake in the conference.
I want to mention that as a member of the Canada-Poland Chamber of Commerce, I strongly feel that this is such a strong community that we have established. The chamber itself consists of successful members of the community who've made a significant impact. I joined a few months ago, and as a result of being a member, I've been provided with an opportunity to network with a lot of successful engineers such as yourself, with professionals, businessmen, businesswomen, doctors, lawyers. I want to mention that I'm very thankful to the Canada-Poland Chamber of Commerce. As the program editor of Global Horizons, I do interviews with diplomats, government officials, influential members of the community, with scholars, academics, and I established this program as a result of having a vision of what I wanted the program to be. And the program itself is very successful, and I started with the program in September, and I've been doing this for 8 months now. I became a member of the Canada-Poland Chamber of Commerce, and I want to say right after the holidays, so around Christmas time. And now being a member over the past 4 months has inspired me to have more successful Polish diplomats and Polish government officials featured on the program. Before I joined, I had a lot of diplomats and government officials that I had featured on the program that I knew personally or that I met at various conferences, networking events, mm-hmm. on my own.
Right.
But as a result of becoming a member, I'm so proud because as a Polish Canadian, I wanted to have successful Polish businessmen, entrepreneurs, engineers, and members with a Polish background featured on my program. Is I think that Polonia is very strong. You know, we're a team of committed, dedicated, hardworking, successful individuals. And every meeting that I've had the honor of attending, I've been so impressed with the quality of work that's been produced. I've been so impressed by the team. We have such a strong team. And I want to thank the president of the Canada-Poland Chamber of Commerce, Mr. Śniegowski, along with the chair of the Communications Committee, Sofia Śniegowska, for all of their hard work, because they truly are the driving force behind the chamber. But all of the members coming together and working on various projects, and all of the members dedicating their time and showing how committed they are to various projects that they're focused on, has only inspired me. And I am truly honored to have had the opportunity to meet you as a result of becoming a member of the Canada-Poland Chamber of Commerce of Toronto. And I want to sincerely thank you again for doing this interview today. I've learned an immense amount about biometrics, and on behalf of the NATO Association of Canada, I want to thank you for, you know, taking the time to discuss biometrics, talking about what it is, talking about the significance and the impact of biometrics, discussing how this has, you know, an influence over, you know, securing our defense. You've been a pleasure to talk to today, and I want to take this opportunity to ask you if you want to share any final words with our listeners today.
Well, thank you, Magdalena. It's been a pleasure having this interview. I feel like I could share some of the things that I work on, which I feel do matter and I feel have importance. Certainly I want to leave off by saying that technology really can be used for good and evil. For example, nuclear power can be used to produce energy for a mass amount of population, as well as it can be used to destroy that population using nuclear weapons. So same technology that can be used in two vastly different contexts. Biometric technologies resemble Big Brother, people claim that. And maybe that's true, but really there's nothing wrong with protecting a personal bank accounts, homes, or even national security of a country. So it's really up to society and legislation to keep tabs on this technology to make sure that it's for the good of humanity and not for the demise.
Mr. Wysocki, thank you very much.